Good morning. How is the volume? How is it, the message coming in? Are we clear?
Great.
Good. Okay. Let's turn in our Bibles to Revelation chapter 1. Some of the themes that we were reminded of this morning in the Lord's Supper were, of course, themes from Revelation, and as we were reminded at the end of the Lord's Supper, the anticipation we have of seeing him. We were reminded that, as Brother Harold mentioned, that we are waiting for him to come back. Revelation chapter 1 is something a little bit different. John there talks in verse 7 that, behold, he is coming with clouds and every eye will see him. So we're looking forward to seeing him for sure. But at some level, we're looking forward to every eye seeing him too. And so Revelation chapter 1, and we just want to, for the first session, we want to just key on this verse, verse chapter 1, or the first half of it. The revelation of Jesus Christ, it says, which God gave him to show his servants. Let's just ask the Lord for his help as we meditate on his word this morning. Father, we're grateful for the privilege to sit this morning together, united in the presence of the Lord Jesus, and to remember him. Father, we're so grateful for the many reminders from your word, by your spirit, concerning your blessed and beloved son. We're thankful for the reminders of the cross of the Lord Jesus and the immeasurable cost, expense to you, Father, the cost of the Lord Jesus to redeem humanity. We're grateful to be part of that redeemed throng this morning, the redeemed throng that we thought about, that we'll be singing in eternity. We're thankful to be singing this morning and thinking of the anticipation of seeing the Lord Jesus. So we just ask that as we look into your word this morning, that you might help us, you might bless us. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Certainly one of the challenges, it seems, that we face today is serving the Lord. It's hard to meet people and it's hard to serve one another. You know, we had this verse read to us from Matthew chapter 8 when the Lord Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. And you notice that in the New King James, that the word, it says that after she was healed, she got up and she served them. I trust you noticed that. That's what the word says, that she served them. But you know, there's a footnote there. Mr. Darby points out that the word is actually him. So that she, after he healed her, it says actually in the original that she got up and she served him. And so why the difference? One translation says serve them. The other says served him. Well, we learn from the Apostle Paul, don't we, at his conversion, that the Lord Jesus said to Paul on the road, or Saul on the road to Damascus, why are you persecuting me? And you remember, you know, the story, that certainly it wouldn't have seemed that Paul was persecuting the Lord. He was just simply killing Christians. How is that persecuting the Lord? Well, it's the connection that we have to him. And these things aren't separated. And so what we want to think of this morning is that the foundation of the book of the Revelation, it is based on this principle of worshiping him. You know, I sometimes wonder, like, there's lots of question nowadays, you know, with the challenge of even, say, for instance, breaking bread. You know, and hey, you know, sadly, some churches haven't. Some that have stood for these things of breaking bread, remembering the Lord, so to speak, or the Lord's Supper, whatever you call this. I know groups that haven't broke bread for a year because of some of the challenges and just some of their personal convictions about these things. And so I've been thinking, like, what is the value of the Lord's Supper? You know, some people call it the worship meeting. Is that accurate? Well, hey, we know this, that worship and service are never divided in Scripture. You want to think about this. You know, Revelation chapter 1 is really a chapter about worship, isn't it? This is the idea that, hey, John fell at the feet of the Lord Jesus later on. We're going to read that in our next meeting, but he fell at the feet of the Lord Jesus all as if he was dead when he saw the Lord Jesus in his exalted glory. You know, hey, the Lord Jesus, when he came the first time, many didn't recognize him. Even his own brothers didn't recognize him till after he went back to heaven. Remember, it says that neither did his own brothers believe in him. They did eventually, but not at the beginning. And it's because they didn't recognize him. Well, John shows us in chapter 1 of the revelation of Jesus Christ that, hey, the next time he comes in his exalted glory, there will be no mistake about who he is, right? So this idea of worship and service, you know, one of the things we see that, you know, the devil does is he seeks to divide Scripture, doesn't he? You know, you remember Matthew chapter 4, we want to turn back to that and see this idea of worship and service connected together, because again, I struggle because of, you know, being stuck at home and not being able to meet people. And how do I get out and serve? Well, I can serve by sitting at his feet, actually. There's service connected with worshiping the Lord. And so we're going to see that. So Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Here's the temptation of the devil. And it's the third temptation. It's in Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. It says, again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Notice the words of the Lord Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. And so you notice that the devil, he sought to divide worship from service. But the Lord Jesus immediately joins them back together. Do you notice that the devil only quoted half of this new Old Testament principle, but the Lord Jesus immediately joined these two concepts back together. You know, that's the point of the churches of the Revelation. You know, when you read through Revelation 2 and 3, we won't think about them much today, but you remember that the church at Ephesus, I mean, we've heard so much about the church of Ephesus. I mean, this was a church that was serving the Lord, right? I mean, the Lord Jesus goes through this long list of things that they were doing. Do you think they were worshiping? Were they worshipers? They were serving. They were as active as they'd ever been. Remember the specific words of the Lord Jesus, pointed words. He said, I have against you that you have left your first love. I would suggest that that's the spirit of worship. You know, that the Apostle Paul had this principle. He said, hey, listen, there is value to you and to I in our Christian character as we sit in the presence of the Lord Jesus and behold him. Right, as we just look at him, this is in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, and the Apostle Paul says this, that as we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are changed into his image. And you know, that's what the Lord is doing in the world. That's what God the Father wants to do in your life and in my life, is change us into the image of the Lord Jesus. Hey, listen, that's done by beholding him, not just working or just serving or active. You know, Jim Elliot, Cindy was just sharing with me that Jim Elliot and the Shadow of the Almighty, you know, that here's a young guy, active, busy. And hey, he went off and in his, before he was 30 years of age, gave his life for his convictions. And, you know, the one challenge he had, he said this statement that so many others have used, the barrenness of busyness. And so although there, it seems that there's not a lot of things we can get out and physically do, hey, we can be changed by sitting in his presence. And actually, that worshiping, that worshipful spirit is connected with service. Okay, so we saw that the devil seeks to divide it here in Matthew chapter 4. Let's go back to the Old Testament and see this see this same principle. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, and this is the image of gold that Nebuchadnezzar built. And his purpose was that people would fall down and worship it, right? That's what he says at verse 8. Therefore, at that time, this is Daniel chapter 3. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. Notice this, they do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Now, here's worship and service put together again. Now, hey, listen, those guys, if they didn't serve Nebuchadnezzar as we think of service, they wouldn't have been in the position that they were. Hey, these men held high positions of honor in the king, in Nebuchadnezzar's government. They were working. But see, Nebuchadnezzar's ungodly ministers recognized this idea of worship and service together. And so further down, verse 16, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. And so these men, even in the Old Testament, understood this idea that worship and service are joined together. They're never disconnected. You know, A.P. Gibbs in his book on worship says that worship that doesn't lead to service and service that doesn't flow from a worshipful spirit, he says, both come short of the divine ideal. And so these things are always joined together. Okay, so we have it. We have this idea of sitting in the presence of the Lord Jesus in 2 Corinthians from Paul and being changed. We have the devil in Matthew chapter 4 seeking to divide worship and service. We have it back in Daniel chapter 3 that these men, we didn't even have the New Testament, still understood this principle of these two things being joined together, worship and service. Now let's turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 1 says, then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." And so, hey, just the last verse, verse 7 first, there was an aspect of the death and burial of the resurrection that was revealed to Mary, to this Mary, Mary of Bethany. Some have pointed out accurately and for sure usefully that the Marys that you see at the tomb on Resurrection Sunday, Mary of Bethany was not there. Do you remember why the women went to the tomb that morning on Sunday, that Sunday morning? Do you remember why? Remember it specifically said why they went? It said they went to anoint his body, right? Remember, to anoint his body in the tomb. Why was Mary of Bethany not there? She wasn't there because she'd already anointed his body for burial, actually, while he was still alive. How did she know that? She knew that because she was a worshiper and she sat at his feet. You know, that's actually what John is revealing to us in Revelation chapter 1. You know, there's a lot of things that are difficult to understand in the book of the Revelation. But, you know, these things are revealed to his servants. And the servants of the Lord Jesus, they are worshipers first before they serve, right? These things are not disconnected. And so you have that here. You have Mary anointing the feet of the Lord Jesus. She's worshiping him. This is what's going on in John chapter 12. Now, let's look at just back to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words." They actually both sat at his feet. That's what it says. They both sat. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." They originally both sat at his feet. The challenges and toils of life came into Martha's life, and she became distracted. She knew this originally, but she became distracted. And her distraction led to her doubting, right? She said, "Lord, do you not care?" Imagine asking him if he cared. "Do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" Well, you know, Peter's mother-in-law could have reminded Martha of something, couldn't she? Hey, when we serve others, we're serving him. These things are not disconnected. We saw that in the reading in Matthew chapter 8, right? That by serving him is the same as serving them. And so Martha had become distracted and she became worried. And so then the Lord Jesus brings her back to the true center. And the true center is the spirit of worship, right? That what Mary was doing, was what was needful. And so as we say, hey, it's hard. It seems it's hard to serve the Lord because of all the challenges. Hey, listen, there's always a way to worship the Lord. I mean, that can be done in private. That can be done in the privacy of my own home. And maybe the challenge, you know, we saw, you know, we heard on Easter weekend when Brother Jay preached to us that the Lord is able to navigate us, to help us navigate through the circumstances we're in. And the challenges we have living in today, he's able to help us navigate through that. But these things are revealed to those people who sit at his feet and who worship him. That service is always in the context of worship. These things are always connected together. So we want to be reminded this morning that, hey, we're going to be worshiping him in eternity. That's what Brother Roy read to us right at the beginning in Revelation chapter 5. We have the privilege to worship the Lord this morning. And actually, it's interesting that, you know, the early brethren had this figured out, didn't they? That they put the worship service, the remembrance of the Lord, right at the beginning of the week, right? Because it's worship first, service second, never divide. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we're grateful for your word that reveals to us your Son. And Father, we just pray that we wouldn't read through your word and miss the Lord Jesus. We know that it is possible. It's possible to know these things intellectually and not know him. And so that's our prayer, that we pray with Peter, that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of him. We pray with the Apostle Paul that we might know him and the power of his resurrection. Father, we pray that we would be changed by beholding the Lord Jesus as in a mirror in your word. Help us each one to be worshipers and servants of the Lord Jesus. We pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.